The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Doug Collins Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Do you want to listen to a podcast?
By who?
Georgia GOP Congressman Doug Collins.
How is it?
The greatest thing I have ever heard in my whole life.
I could not believe my ears.
In this house, wherever the rules are disregarded, chaos and mob rule. It has been said today, where is bravery? I'll tell you where bravery is found and courage is found. It's found in this minority who has lived through the last year of nothing but rules being broken, people being put down, questions not being answered. And this majority say, be damned with anything else. We're going to impeach and do whatever we want to do. Why? Because we won an election. I guarantee you, one day you'll be back in the minority and it ain't going to be that fun.
Hey everybody, welcome to Friday's Finest. This is where you come for the latest and greatest information. Some right off the headlines, some on the back pages, some maybe even on page six, for those of you who are familiar with the New York Post. But you never know what's going to happen on Fridays on the Doug Collins Podcast when James, our Texan by way of New Jersey, is ready to go at it today as we hit the highlights, the lowlights, the middle lights, anything else as we go. But before we get to the Friday's Finest, I do have to say it has been interesting. I have been asked on interviews now, from Fox, Newsmax, papers, everywhere else. One of the biggest questions I keep getting asked is about the Democrat struggle with Joe Biden running for president again in 2024. It seems like it comes up all the time. In fact, there was an actual Wall Street Journal article penned by a Democratic strategist this week saying that he should not run again. And what was really interesting, the reason I'm bringing this up here for our listeners is one of the things that I have said for almost a year and a half plus now is something that this person brought up, and that was the Afghanistan policy and the energy policies that have shown just a true weakness on the national stage and showed a real failure of leadership in many ways. But they also go on to say that he can't seem to get out of his own way. In other words, he just too many gaffes, too many goofs that everybody can talk about, which we've talked about here on the podcast. Well, you combine those two, and if you remember the famous words about a few months back or when it was that he said, I've got three words for you. I got two words for you. Made in America. Of course, everybody laughed at it. That's three words, not two words. But I have two words for Joe Biden in the next coming 2024 presidential race. If he runs, he can't hide. That's two words that Joe Biden can't get around. He can't hide anymore. He cannot do a campaign from the basement. He cannot pick and choose the 15 people that he wants to talk to or put them in giant circles. If you remember back to the 2020 campaign when he'd have outside events, putting people in 10 by 10 circles with 15 people being there and then control every bit of the aspect from his circle of communication directors. He can't hide. That's two words that I believe will be Joe Biden's biggest problem if he decides to run for president again. Now, Democrats can talk about all they want, but probably behind the scenes, those two words are scaring them to death. Let's get on with Friday's Finest. James and I are just around the corner. Hey, everybody. You know about Legacy Precious Metals. Legacy Precious Metals, you hear from them. We talk once a month. We talk about Legacy Precious Metals, talking about precious metals being part of your portfolio, how they're your navigator. Well, now they're not only navigating in a new way, they're actually giving you a new way to buy gold and silver. In fact, Legacy Precious Metals has developed a revolutionary new online platform that allows you to invest in real gold and silver online. In a few easy steps, you can open an account online, select your metals of choice, and choose to have them stored in a vault or shipped to your door. I'm more of a ship to my door kind of person. I enjoy having them with me, but they can do it either way, and you can now do it online. It gives you real access to a dashboard where you can track your portfolio growth in real time, anytime. You'll see transparent pricing on each coin and bar. This puts you in complete control of your money. This platform is free to sign up for. Just visit LegacyPMInvestments.com and open your account and see this new investing platform for yourself. Gold hedges against inflation and is against a volatile stock market. A true diversified portfolio isn't just more stocks and bonds, but a different asset class. This platform allows you to make investments in gold and silver, no matter how small or large, with just a few clicks. Remember, do as I have done. Go to legacypminvestments.com and get started today. And now you've got a new tool to help you along in your investments. All right, we're back. Thanks for all our sponsors. Glad to be here. James, it is time for Friday's Finest. How is life in Texas?
You know, just hanging out. It's been 70s and 80s here. It's relaxing. How's... Okay. I know you're... You know what? See, I want to make fun of you, but you're in Georgia, so I'm sure it's pretty close.
Oh, yeah.
Because everyone in New Jersey is freezing their tail off.
Every morning.
Oh, that's that. You know what? Then you know what? Ha ha.
You're funny. Yeah. But yeah, it has been bad because I've been traveling across the country and then come back in and get cold weather. And it's like my wife had traveled some and she went to Florida. My sons, several of our friends went to Florida. And I'm here. I'm not traveling as much the next couple of weeks. And so it's like, okay, well, let's get the weather is. And even in Florida, it's breezy 60s. It's just up in North Florida, in particular mid Florida. South Florida, I mean, it's still, I have a son who's down in very South Florida and it's 80, 90 degrees down there. But, you know, for those of us who are still working it out, I mean, this is the problem. But, you know, it's sort of a good transition here, James, for Friday's Finest. You know, somebody who's been a top contender for Friday's Finest for the last few weeks has been the mercurial quarterback of the Green Bay Packers, Aaron Rodgers. Now deciding that he did not want to retire under the same year Tom Brady did, and he wanted to continue to play, he's following that great Packer tradition of leaving the Green Bay Packers and going to New York, it looks like, if they can get everything settled. I mean, is there ever, I mean, this is almost like the Howard Hughes of football. I mean, just this reclusive, I'm going to sit in the dark for, you know, 2 weeks and then come back out and talk. And then when he actually came back out this week and said it on the Pat McAfee show, well, I'm going to play and I intend to play with the Jets. Well,
I loved the what did he say? I think he, I don't know if it was, I'm going to try it. I think it's a direct quote. He said, I came out of the darkness and something was a little bit off. Like, okay.
It's called the real world, buddy.
You know, I feel like every fan of every other team in the NFC North wants to hold a press conference to thank God for getting Aaron Rodgers out of their division. But realistically, it's something that like bothers me. I think this goes for pretty much anything. This is not, we don't even have to keep this to just sports, but the idea that he knew that he knows that he has enough power to, A, if they want to get rid of him, he can take as much time as he wants. Right. If he really wanted to stay and cause a stink in their organization, he could do that as well. But now he gets to make demands to the team that's looking to get him. All the power that one man has because he can throw a football 60 yards without blinking.
And arguably, okay, at least for me, okay, maybe not for you, maybe not for others, arguably I could put him in the top 10 in quarterbacks in the National Football League right now, but not in the top 5.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair because he's been a little off. But, I mean, besides last season, he won MVP 2 years in a row. He just he has such a – whatever his deal is, and I know people have said that he's really strange, he's really off, he's really weird, all sorts of things. Whatever his deal is, like, I don't think it matters to him that it's a bad look anymore. That's to the wayside. Yeah. So he gets to do whatever he wants. When you have no shame, you can do whatever you want.
Well, he doesn't care. I think that's the other. I mean, if you listen to the Rogan interview with him last year, I mean, I have to admit, it did rehabilitate him a little bit in my mind, at least some of the things that I'd heard. But it's still just, you know, it's about him. I mean, he's isolated himself from his family and life and everybody else. But let's just think about this for a second. You said it could be bigger than football, and I agree with that. You know, in the sense of the, you know, people in these positions are able to do what they're doing and because, as you said, can throw a football or, you know, act or shoot basketball, do these kind of things. You know, it is things like this, though, that in many ways pragmatic or whatever. I just think things like this are not inherently good for the sport itself. It's good you know, fodder for page six, so to speak. But at the end of the day, you know, here's a 18-year veteran who is admittedly in the last maybe 3 years of his playing days and making demands on a team that he's never been to. I'm going to bring this up. Is the New York Jets, and you know you're from the Jets. I mean, you're from up that part of the world, the Jets mm-hmm. and the Giants. Neither one of them play in New York, by the way, is a reminder. But the question is do they have the money to buy a championship? I mean, because that's what they look like they're trying to do. They just brought Darren Waller in. I mean, you got some others.
Well, the Giants brought down Darren Waller in. So.
Well, Giants brought down Waller. I apologize. I got that.
But you're right.
Are they trying to buy it?
The Jets feel like they have a super young core right now. So they're going to throw all their money at Aaron Rodgers and the receivers he wants and see if they can get this going. That's what it is.
Are they so desperate for a title? I mean, is that really what it is?
Mm-hmm. Doug, listen, the people of New York are evil and nasty and terrible. I don't know. I can't wait for mid-season when they're not playing well to hear that press conference. But, you know, you're right about the him basically holding all those teams hostage. I mean, and yeah. talking about it not being just in sports, but you were saying in acting too, right? Think about that guy, Ezra Miller, who's going to – now, this is going to – a little nerdy, but – you know, there's the Marvel movies and there's DC movies, and DC right. movies have been awful in comparison. They've right. been yeah. awful in comparison. But they were coming out with the Flash movie, and it's a really big deal because the story is super well known and everybody loves it. Ezra Miller, the guy playing the Flash, was in the news every day for like 3 months because he was doing something, you know, on the level of craziness like Kanye. You know, just doing something awful every day. And he basically held them hostage because they couldn't do press with him. They couldn't do this with him. They couldn't do that. They were delaying the release of the movie. They weren't sure if they should scrap the movie, all this stuff. And apparently people have seen the movie and it's one of the best movies people have ever seen, whoever's seen it. And it's like there's someone who's crazy, but and a mess in every single way. But he's going to hold them hostage because of how good the movie's going to be. And it's the same thing with Aaron Rodgers of how good he plays football, how great he is as an athlete. He can just hold people hostage. They do this in the NBA. That's why people aren't fans of the teams anymore and they're fans of players because they move so often because they have all the power.
Yeah. Well, it's been going back to the 70s when you had free agency and everything else. But I guess at the end of the time, though, folks, okay, he's going to be in New York. Here's the interesting thing for me. Prickly as he is with press, and if you caught some people may have seen this week where Adam Schechter texted him and he said, lose my number.
Nice try.
Yeah, lose my number. I mean, if he is that prickly with press in Green Bay, I mean, how is he going to handle the New York press? Which is rabidly, maybe only second, and I'm being generous here to the press in Philly.
Yes.
I mean, in the public in these two towns, which are just ravenous about these teams that are, frankly, a lot of times have been struggling. I mean, how is he going to handle that each and every day?
He's not. And I don't think people don't realize if you don't live in New York or you don't live on the East Coast, how like nasty it can be.
Yep.
Like picture. Okay. Here's the best way to describe New York. The way people comment on Instagram and Twitter posts nowadays, cause they're at home and they're in their basement and they can hide behind a computer.
Right.
That's how people talk to you outside in public in New York.
No, I was watching a movie, My Cousin Vinny, the other night, and it was just, you know, it reminded me of just when I go to New York and I go to do Fox up in New York and I'm in the city. I mean, it's just that plain spoken, you know, just, you know, use of words. And it's just, you know, I think Rodgers is, if he is as good a ball player as everybody believes him to be, we'll see what he can get when he's got some players. But I do think the funny one before we move on was Zach Wilson, who, of course, had all kinds of issues last year. Zach Wilson back in January said, if they bring in a veteran quarterback, I will work new every day to make life a living hell.
Yeah, good luck.
On social media yesterday, somebody posted that and said, welcome to hell.
It's so funny. That kid, man, talk about somebody who went from like a little no-name sweetheart, good feel-good story from BYU to the most hated person in New York City. The life comes at you fast. That's A1 for sure.
Yeah, don't be saying you want to date your mamas. You know, that's a whole different issue here. Before we get into that one real deep, moving right along. All right, explain to me, every city in the country, and we've seen this before, every city in the country tries to do something to distinguish their cities, okay? You have Broadway, of course, inherently to New York. You have the Liberty Bell and everything in Philly. You've got the river in San Antonio. You got, you know, the Miracle Mile in Chicago. You got, you know, the Buckhead downtown area of Atlanta. Dallas, Fort Worth, which, by the way, Dallas in itself, which gets extremely cold sometimes in the winter and extremely hot in the summer,
has decided
that they're wanting to put in what, James?
Oh, they're called gondolas. And I'm not talking about the ones in Italy where there's some guy singing on a boat and dragging you through the city of Venice.
Yeah.
This is it looks like a closed ski lift. Sorry. Okay. It looks like a ski lift, an enclosed ski lift. So everybody's floating around like the Jetsons. It looks ridiculous from the photo. Then again, that could just be a random photo. It is on Instagram. But it looks like they're trying to put in something that can, I guess, help people in a crowded city. I mean, if you were going to choose a city to do it in, it would be New York or Chicago. Dallas is crowded, but it's not crowded like those cities. But yeah, I guess they're going to – I don't know if anyone else is doing this. So it's a strange thing, especially because I don't think of Dallas as super innovative but – hey, you know what? Like, who knows? It could be something really cool and fun. And I'll let you know when I'm up there staring down at people.
Well, when are they actually – I mean, where are they going to connect you to? I mean, is it like taking you from downtown to out there at the, you know, the sort of up-and-coming area where the barbecue joints and the other joints are? I mean, where are they trying to connect you
to? It says Dallas-Fort Worth, so I don't know if it's going to be like Deep Ellum or anything like that. Seems like an odd choice, but I want to see a little bit more about it. But from what it said, it looks like they're going to try to implement it in the next few years, I guess. That seems a bit crazy, but.
Moving along from crazy, from Dallas gondolas, you know, maybe they put a Ferris wheel in. Atlanta put in a Ferris wheel like London.
Ferris wheel? What are you going to send people down on a big Ferris wheel?
Yeah, it's a huge thing. And actually, they're enclosed. And there's one is a VIP one that has a bar and, you know, in it. And you can stay in it for, I don't know, you know, it's an extended period of time. And that's where you can go like on dates and stuff. And it's like, yeah, but it's right downtown. I mean, it's just off of Centennial Square where the Olympics and all that, you know, just down from the Mercedes and everything right there. We have our own Ferris wheel like London does.
Look at you. Look at you, the Atlanta, the London of America,
the international city that it is. You know, we're known for more than just the airport. That if you're going, as the old joke is, if you're going to heaven and hell, either way, you'll transfer in Atlanta.
yeah. You know, it's funny, Doug, you say that, but every single time I've transferred, it's been Atlanta.
It's in Hartsfield, baby. You're gonna do it.
It's amazing. Anyway,
now one of these days I'm gonna do a show on the best and worst airports. And for all of you out there who think Hartsfield is awful, just shut up. I've been to enough of them. Like, are you kidding?
Oh no.
Me?
Oh wait, but see, Doug, we can get into. We don't have to get into it right now, but we have to have a list of reason. Like we have to have parameters for this because yeah. I've been to a few airports and I'm pretty sure. Worrying about getting hit by a tornado and having to stay overnight for 2 days would put Washington, D.C.'s airport for me at the top. However, since that's not everybody's reasoning for not liking a place, one day I will tell you my nightmare airport story. We'll get into it. We can get into whatever, but one day I'll tell you about it.
Well, right now it's pretty interesting because they're having an airplane summit, and this was something I had thought about for Friday's Finest, but I'm glad you brought it up here. Sort of, this is why this show leads into where it goes. They're having a big summit this week, you know, the FAA and DOT about, you know, what's going on, because there's been a rise in, you know, really scary stuff happening at airports. I mean, you know, at Austin, they almost landed on top of each other. One landed on one taking off. You had the one that dropped a great deal. And by the way, I've talked to a good friend of mine who's a pilot, and he said some of these, you know, like the one off of Hawaii that just drops so quickly and everything. He believes that, you know, in his pilot air, that they're having, that they're not programming or not taking into something on the autopilot system. So, and some of it's getting back to a full speed, you know, of everybody flying that hadn't been flying in years. But we'll, it's going to be interesting, I mean, with in seeing, you know, what happens and how they get it. Well, we've got to also upgrade our air traffic control system. That's been something that's been needed to be done for years.
It's terrifying that needs to be done.
Yeah, and it's no
kind of like when you're. It's kind of like when you're driving and you see another bridge being built next to the bridge you're driving on.
Yeah.
And like, all you can think is, oh, is this bridge good enough for? Why are they building that other bridge?
Yeah, what's the issue here? You know, we got a problem. Yeah, but yeah, they still do in a lot of airports and even the big ones. I mean, they still do a lot of hand, you know, movement, you know, by hand moving planes around. They use charts and then they'll move them around, you know, manually. And they still, you know, of course, they do have the computer systems which control. But yeah, there's still a lot of that going on, but they're trying to upgrade it as we go forward. But speaking of carelessly disregarding things as you go, speaking of airplanes, what do you think about this Russian? I mean, this goes to show I started it off in the show intro today about the Biden administration's problem on a world stage. Right now, you have Iran, China, Russia, and North Korea all flexing their muscles on the world stage because I frankly don't think they believe that the Biden administration will do anything about it. And now you have a Russian plane basically hitting one of our Reaper drones over the Black Sea near the Ukraine. And, you know, just hitting it. And nothing at this point is happening. I've watched a few interviews lately and today and the last, you know, as we've been going on yesterday and today about the fact that, you know, these countries are not going to quit doing this until they're met with resistance. And This is a scary
inch, take a mile, for sure.
Yeah. I mean,
I don't really know. I mean, again, it was okay. First of all, it's Russia. So they're obviously, it's so funny that this with everything, like they're always just going to be our enemy. They're like, it's such a weird, like, I don't want to put it in because, you know, a lot of lives have been lost for this, but just the idea that, like, they're kind of like if you watch like a cartoon, like the arch enemy that keeps coming back.
Yeah, like, perpetual enemy.
That's like Russia. Like the Cold War was supposedly ended almost 40 years ago.
Yeah.
And we're still dealing with this nonsense because we're helping a nation. And it's just a floating drone. It's not like we're spying on Russia. We're probably always spying on Russia, but they're always spying on us.
Yeah.
What's the difference? So they're just not. It almost feels like it was like a petty move.
Yeah. Well, it's a bully pump move.
Yeah, exactly. And we're not doing anything. Like, we got to find one of their drones and then just write, like, you suck on it and spray paint.
Yeah, right up to the top. And again, I think the biggest issue is I've always thought some of the funniest, you know, stories is we still have, and if someone is in the Air Force and still in the military, you know, look, folks, you know, some are bigger, some have more different things. But as far as for the, you know, for 99.9, the American military equipment and capabilities is superior to most everybody else. And one of the interesting stories back from a few years ago was our stealth fighters came up literally on some of Iran's jets and got up under them. They didn't even know that we were there until our pilots said something to them over the radio.
That's kind of awesome.
Yeah, my guys are pretty cool. But anyway, yeah, but this is a diary of Russia. And again, I brought this question up before, and we've brought this up. I brought it up with on interviews, and I brought it up in the podcast. Is really the question of is where is the line? And right now in Washington, rightfully so, they're trying to keep us out of war and keep us from escalating. But at a certain point in time, you do wonder, you know, where is the rest of the world in an issue like Russia and Iran? Is it been baked in to and told to so many of ours politically, folks politically, that if Russia takes Ukraine, it doesn't matter? Well, right. I think it matters. The question is, how do we, you know, how is it that America can use its, you know, preeminence of power to reign or to, you know, control a rogue nation? Because, again, I get it. Let other people handle their problems. Well, they can't handle the problems. And for anybody that is, and again, we stay out. You know, I use the old Roadhouse philosophy. Okay. You know, if you remember in Roadhouse, when Patrick Swayze came in, he was the new bouncer. And he said, they said, well, when do we know? He said, you be nice. He said, if they hit you, you be nice. If they walk you to the door, you be nice. And he keeps on it. And he said, well, when? He said, I'll tell you when not to be nice.
Right.
And he never takes the action of just, you know, breaking somebody, you know, over his leg, so to speak. But it's a progression that, you go, and then say, look, you're not doing this anymore. And the question comes to my mind is, for those who right now are very much isolationist in their view, and I understand it completely. And, you know, and you feel free to share your thoughts here at DougCollinsPodcast.com. Hit the email button and go. The question is what do we need to do to encourage others and who are closer to it? But if we had truly known and had opportunities, which we did a little bit of, to take out, the Al-Qaeda, the Taliban and all before 9/11, wouldn't that have been a better use of our time than spending 20 years in a perpetual war? You know, this is something that's got to be answered. It's not an easy answer. It's becoming a trip question for presidential candidates. Tucker Carlson's asking about it. You know, my concern, James, and I don't know about the younger generation. I have a lot of concern with people who accept easy answers for tough problems.
Yeah. Okay. I hear what you're saying. Can you give me are you saying like, hey, what do we do about this? And the answer is we're looking.
Well, just turn our head. Or the opposite answer is we need to go Lindsey Graham on them and go full war. You know what I'm saying?
No, you're right. This isn't just this isn't just a simple yes or no. Is what you're saying? Like it's not okay. We need to attack and we don't.
No,
I think also the way I think. No, go ahead.
No, I'm just because and you said give an example. Okay, I'll give an example, and because you've got some presidential wannabes and others who are on both sides of the aisle. I mean, you have some say Medicare for all, privatize all the banks. And then you have Republicans who are saying the way you fix the budget deficit is to do away with the Department of Education. You realize that's not even 0.5% of the total discretionary budget. You're not going to do Jack Hootie.
You just sound like you're attacking something you don't like.
Because it's easy and because people are being too willing to buy the simple answers. Folks, hear me now, like me now, don't like me now, help me come speak to your group. I will come. Go to my link tree. There's a place where you can ask to have me come speak. I go to speak to all over groups. I'll be honest with you. We can agree or disagree. But folks, if you think that you can solve the debt problem by simply zero balancing the budget this year, you're not being realistic. It's not going to happen. Okay? We got to have long-term answers that are not just simply stay out, get in, figure it out. And, I mean, we're getting ready for another 2024 cycle. And I want people to, and especially because I'm a conservative, I want our conservative audience to understand the truth. And you're not going to solve our financial issues by ignoring, number one, problems, and number two, by simply making answers like do away with three departments in the federal government, which, you know, fine. By the way, I don't disagree that they don't need to be there, but they're not going to give you the hope. It's like somebody who has, you know, a bad illness and you telling them, well, if they take, you know, 2 800 milligrams of Motrin twice a day, they'll be fine. No, they won't. And if you lie to them long enough, they believe it. And too many, and I'm going to be honest here, too many people on TV, too many people on podcasts, too many people want to make it out to be too simple. We're not that simple. Can simple answers work? Yes, but combined with a long-term approach. There's my
soapbox. We're quoting that. We are cutting that part of the video. Simple answers with a long-term approach.
Yep, got to look at it. But anyway, as we go, speaking of as we go here, completely disregarding the law. We're going to lightly touch on here two places that we've got to get back to a sense of law and order. And if you're a member, if you're an executive branch member, such a governor or president or any, that if you want to change something, you change it by the constitutional system that's been put in place in most states, in all states, and in our federal government, and that is that you legislate it. If the legislature has said, and a president in the past has signed it, that says that, you know, something is wrong, it is not for you to determine unilaterally you're not going to enforce that. And Katie Hobbs, the governor of Arizona, is now disregarding the death penalty sentences that have been handed down for folks in Arizona because she has a problem with the death penalty. If you have a problem with the death penalty, Governor Hobbs, you go to the legislature and say, we need to modify or do away with our death penalty. You got to do your job. We're seeing this with DAs all over the country, James. What is it that, why have we gotten away from, you know, and I may be an old fuddy-duddy here or something, I don't know, but the three branches, the two-branch government system is what made us as good as we are today. Why are we going away from it?
Oof, that's a loaded question, isn't it?
Yeah, but you see it all the time. Republicans and Democrats are doing this.
Specifically about this situation. This is the governor of Arizona.
Yep.
Making the decision to remove the death penalty from all of the inmates her
state.
The
whole death penalty. She's not going to carry, the executive branch will not carry out a death penalty sentence.
Here's my question.
And then she has the power, she could commute them.
Okay. This is a question that I have because when you brought this up to me earlier, it made me think of this and it's sort of terrifying. Okay.
Yep.
She has the right to say, okay, everybody who's currently imprisoned right now, she can just say during her term, those people will not get the death penalty. Correct. Yes, is that what you're saying? Okay. Let's say she loses the next election.
Yep.
Do those people, were they pardoned? Or can the next governor just say they get the death penalty?
Yeah, if she doesn't change their sentence, and again, I said something earlier. Let me be very careful here. Some states allow the governor to commute or pardon. Okay, some states don't. I'll be frank; I'm not sure about Arizona. So what I do know now is if she doesn't have that power, frankly, it's even worse. Okay,
well, go ahead. Yeah. Sorry.
If she doesn't have the power to commute or pardon, then she is basically just standing in the way of a law, of an actual constitutional law in Arizona being carried out.
Well, that's my fear, though. I'm going to go devil's advocate, take the inmate's perspective here. You're an inmate, and the governor, you love this governor because she just said you're not getting the death penalty. You're going to serve out the rest of your sentence. You may die in prison, but you're not going to be killed. She leaves office, and the next guy, your sentence didn't actually change. You just didn't have to go to the chair that day, or however they do it. And the next governor says, "No, that you're getting the death penalty." I'm not saying whether it's right or wrong. Maybe that person deserves the death penalty. That's what they were given. But think about how horrifying that is.
Yep. Well, in some ways,
she basically.
Yeah. It's becoming more.
I'm just thinking of the mind of someone who just found out they're not going to be killed, and it's not even 100% whether she could just change that for them.
Right. Well,
she just delayed it, essentially.
Well, I'll take another tack here. Think about the victims' families.
Yes.
Most of these.
Think about. They just find out. You know, you murdered my kid, my husband, my wife, whatever it is. That person should be going to the chair, and then you find out, no, that's not going to happen.
Yeah, actually the funny part, the funnily strange part here is that the inmate who is looking, who's up for execution actually wants to be executed. He's petitioned. He's not filed anything from the court to take away this. This is just Hobbs being Hobbs. Again,
we got. I just think like that's a large power to wield. That's just it.
Well, it is. And here's another one who campaigned without campaigning. She basically hid away from Carrie Lake and just didn't campaign.
She said, let her try to destroy herself and I'll just stay in the background.
Yeah, that's all she does. So that's what she did. On to another part of what we call basic stupidity out of local government. This week we saw San Francisco, not the bastion of conservatism by any means, but also not the bastion of common sense. The San Francisco board expressed support for reparations in upwards of $5 million to African Americans who were living in San Francisco.
It's a whole lot of money.
Now, here's the interesting issue. There's no way they can pay this.
Yeah, they can't even afford to get the homeless people out of their area.
There's an interesting take. There's a former Black Lives Matter, and this was a story that I saw earlier in the week from DeRusso. He used to be part of Black Lives Matter. Now he's with Prager and Dennis and all those guys. But he makes a point. It's really interesting. He says this. What he's basically saying, and he said, this is just virtual signaling. Number one, nothing's going to change, okay, because there's no way they can pay this. And it really, the concern, and I've heard this from others in the community, that it perpetuates a victim mentality. It perpetuates that, yes, the reason you're lot in life is because of something that happened a long time ago and you've never recovered, so we're now going to make you whole. And everything will be fine. James, you and I both know that just simply giving money to someone does not make them whole. It does not make them better. It may make them wealthy, but it does not make them whole.
Yeah, you're right. You're 100% right. I also believe that those people that are about to get the money would disagree with you.
Well, I mean, sure they're going to disagree.
You're right.
I mean, here's my saying. Why is it just, you know, again, this is such an interesting argument that is gaining steam in places like California, and they wonder why people are moving out of their state so fast, and New York and the other places, because this doesn't make sense. You know, look, slavery was wrong. It is a blight on our nation. We need to learn from that. It should not be banished from our textbooks. It should not be banished from our school systems. They should learn about the horrors of slavery. They should learn about the fact that our Constitution had in it originally that they were counted as 3/5 of a person. They need to know that we came from a bad place. We got better. I'm tired of this argument among the left that, you know, we're a bad nation. We're a nation like anybody else, just like they are, that has done some good and this nation as a whole has done some very good, and we've had some very bad moments. We've had Democrat presidents who locked up Japanese in internment camps, okay? Shut up. I mean, we've done it, but I don't want to not know about that. I want to know that Japanese Americans were treated horribly. I want my great grandkids to know that African Americans in the South were treated badly, and much more so treated badly in Boston, New York, and Philadelphia, and Chicago, just like they were in the South. I want them to know that, because I don't want them ever to think that that was good.
Yeah.
That was a proper way to go about it.
One of the things I always found interesting is, and again, this is not a conversation we have to get into too much, but when people were taking down the statues of people, I said, okay, take down the statues, fine. But take those statues and put them in a museum. And make sure people know what that horrible person you took down did. That's all. If you tell people what happened, the history never goes away. That's why people are so scared of like some things in education, because on the left, they say they're trying to ignore the facts, and on the right, they're saying, no, they're making up facts, whatever it is. That's not important. Make sure that the history of our nation, no matter good or bad, is on display for every single person who's here to see. That's the important part, because it can be clear and there can be answers to any of your questions. That's it.
Well, there has to be. But I mean, if we quit learning, okay, if you don't discuss white supremacy, If you don't discuss, you know, Black Lives Matter, if you don't discuss prejudice on both sides, racism on both sides, I mean, look, racism, period, end of statement, is wrong, period. You can call it systemic, you can call it whatever, but if it's wrong, it's wrong, okay? And this is another issue now that we keep dredging up, and what bothers me the most is there's not a politician or at least somebody worth their salt in the San Francisco council out there that believes they can actually give this to every person. They don't. It's a lie. It's just like telling, you know, people that we're going to solve gun crime if we banned every gun and took them all up. You're not. Okay. I mean,
yeah, you get all the
every
guns,
gun from every person in America, maybe, but you're not going to do that. So quit lying. But yeah, this idea that you're going to take $5 million from me, it's about like this bank that said, oh, nobody's going to get hurt from this because bank, this SVB stuff. And yet my bank and your bank, who had nothing to do with it, are probably going to have their FDIC rates raised because they've decided to guarantee the stupidity in this bank.
Yeah, just explain if they could really explain where money is coming from, we'd all be happy to make everything work. We're not idiots.
Oh, that's off the trees in the backyard.
That, you know what, Doug? I haven't heard that in so long. I can hear my mother right now.
When you I think was money oh, goes I, on trees,
Mom, can we go out to eat? She goes, yeah, just go in the backyard and dig up from the money tree.
Exactly, it's right there. Well, James, we couldn't have had a better segue into our final segment.
Ah. Of the day.
About our parents and about parenting in general. And speaking as the resident parent of 20-year-olds and a 30-year-old, this story just made me laugh. It made me laugh and made me, you know, just sort of go, wow. But also the reaction just got, it made Friday's Finest because of the reaction of people. A story came out this week that a dad was told by a friend of the family that his daughter, who was at college about 50 miles away, was a stripper. She decided to make money.
First and foremost.
Yeah. The funny part was, is almost as many negative comments about the snitch as there was anything else.
Yeah, anyway, go ahead.
Which is pretty good. But she's stripping. So the dad confronted the daughter, and the daughter said, yeah, I needed some extra money. Well, the dad says, I don't want you using your body to make money. You can go get another job. I'd rather you work at McDonald's and have to do something else than do what you're doing. And she says she wasn't going to do it. She's going to keep stripping. So he had agreed earlier to pay her car payment. So he decided that after she decided she was going to continue to strip, he wasn't going to pay her car payment anymore. Said, it's my money. I don't want you doing this. He said, I'm not going to pay for it anymore. And the social media, Reddits and others, blew up about this. And people saying that the father was wrong and that maybe he should have been. And I love this one. This one, as a dad, I'm sitting here saying, oh my God, let me just bang my head on this. Well, if he had gave her more money, she wouldn't have had to strip. Really?
Paying her car note, man.
Yeah, you're paying the car note.
You know,
and she's in school. Yeah. You know.
Listen, I think we know the I'm a stripper to get through college thing. I know it's real because I had friends in college who were strippers. I didn't know they were when I first met them, and then they would come home with huge piles of cash. And then we would go out and I would be like, where'd you get that? And she's like, I strip. And I said, that's amazing. Congratulations. And, but she was not, let me make this super clear. I don't know how this girl's doing, but I assure you my friend was doing just fine. Well, so not only could she pay her car note and she could pay her rent.
You brought up an interesting subject, James. Okay.
Yes.
This is not a conversation. And folks, if you haven't figured this out, I'm the old guy in the room. James is the young guy. Okay. this is not a conversation that I would have ever had with my friends.
No.
Okay. I'm not saying that when I was back in college that there wasn't strip clubs in Atlanta. In fact, yes, there were tons of strip clubs in Atlanta. Okay. I didn't know anybody that worked in a strip club. And right. If you ask some of my friends that we were going to college with, hey, my sister's stripping down at the Cheetah in Atlanta, it would have been like, oh my God, what happened? You know,
yes.
My kids who listen to this podcast, they were going to call me. I know they are. I'll just prepare for it. what is, I mean, has it become more acceptable these days?
1,000%
For strippers.
Doug, there is no unacceptable. I'm not even trying to be funny about it. There just isn't. Ironically, some of the stuff that is unacceptable are words now more than anything.
Doesn't that just sort of get you after a while?
It used to be sticks and stones may break my bones, and now it's words or violence. But the thing is that what I find very interesting is, and I only say this because I went to an art school. I am an art school dropout. I will stand by that. I went to I was surrounded by creatives and by a lot of different people. And I was around, and like I said, so one of the people I was with, she was a dancer, stripper, whatever her title was. It's not even looking different or anything. She's just a friend. It is what it is. Like it wasn't a thing.
I get it.
But I understand in your generation how crazy that must sound.
Yeah.
I don't want to bring my mother into this, but she grew up with really strict parents, and she couldn't wear certain socks because it would be too showing. Like, think about that. That sounds insane today. You couldn't wear this dress because it was too low or too high or this, that, and the other. Those are things that women just weren't allowed to do, and now we're all QA here. But that is not what this is about. This is about a dad who's like, I'm not paying for it if you got the money and you're going to do something that I really don't want you to be doing. That's it. And you're a dad. I'm not. So I can't I can't really respond on this one. I don't know whether it's fair that he's – not – it's like – he's like, I'm spending this money to – I'm paying – he's probably – okay, first of all, he's probably also paying for her college, yes?
Probably.
Is that part of it?
Yes.
If that's part of it, that's even worse because he's paying for her college, paying for the car, paying for this, and his only request is please don't be a stripper. I don't know how crazy that sounds. Maybe I'm wrong. Please tell us if we're wrong.
Well, as a parent is one of those. It's like, okay, folks. I mean, but also as this whole different generation is, and the more I looked at this and the reaction was online there was, do whatever you want to do. It's all right.
Yes.
It goes back to this old biblical philosophy is that everyone did what was right in their own eyes. And we've gotten to that
point. Yeah. Listen, if she wants to do that, that's not the issue. But it's sort of the issue when you were younger, right? If you didn't listen to your parents' rules, there were consequences.
Oh, is there? Definitely.
Right. If you're like my mom or my dad, like if they didn't follow the rules, they weren't allowed to live in the house after 18.
Yeah.
You know, and before, and if you're under 18, you don't get to do anything they don't say. So it's just it. Like, and it's a very odd dynamic, but like today, yes, if you want to be a stripper, go for it. Happy for you. Go do what you got to do. Make your money, be whatever. But don't expect people to pay for your stuff. If it's like under my roof, my rules, that's just the way it is. It's not unfair that he's like, I'm cutting you off. That's life.
I mean, here's a hard dose reality. Well, it's like the last story about the reparations. At a certain point in time, we expect everybody to keep us up no matter what we want and to feed this idea that I'm owed something. Folks, we're going to end today's Friday Finest with the best piece of advice I can ever give you. You are not owed anything. You have given life. You have given an opportunity. You have the possibilities ahead of you. But when you believe you are owed something from somebody else just because you are a breather and partaker of air, you have then become a victim. And you will always be looking to someone else to solve your problems, help you along, and move forward. Now, we all have people who have helped us. We all have people who we stand on the shoulders of. And those are the good people in our life that help us get to where we are. But the minute you expect it is the minute you are sliding down the wrong side of the hill. And I think that is the bigger problem that we have. And James, with that, Friday's Finest is come to a close for another week. Until we meet again, James, say goodbye.
See y'all.
We're out of here. Doug Collins Podcast. We'll see you next week. Thanks.
3-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.